I'm going to change your program up a little bit this morning. Brother Brett, would you do your...
I had a vision back in 2015. And in that vision, it was just being taken in to God's presence. And it was really profound. When I came out of the vision, I had an opportunity to write down, led by the Holy Spirit, what it was that I encountered. And as I've shared this with some people, it's really touched them. So I'm just praying and believing that the Holy Spirit will touch all of you also as we read the vision and just allow the Holy Spirit to, you know, move as we envision what's being read. I find myself in a place where the air alone surrounding me is enough to blow off every concern and weight that has oppressed me since the dawn of its creation. I feel the trickle of waters running over my body that removes the knowledge of the presence of a physical body with all its afflictions and infirmities. The atmosphere is infinite and larger than the universe. The feeling and presence of my surroundings are the same all the way through from here to forever, and I know I am safe. Harm is impossible, hurt is unheard of, and there is no fear, no room for a second thought in this place. There is one who loves me with such a burning passion that its presence alone massages my heart to sing songs of praise without any effort of my mind to think of words, and the power of this love sends vibrations to each part of my body to dance without the hindrance of the flesh. This time it is different. I am not in the third heaven or in a spiritual place. I find myself in the beginning of it all, in a place that no thing can enter by its own will. I am in the heart of God. I am in the beginning of all time. I sit upon the foundation of all that is right and true. There is fruit everywhere. All answers are found in this place. I can reach out and touch faith. Faith is a fruit in my hand that I can eat, and its flavor is endless. One morsel can fill me for eternity. The abundance in this place is not known to man. It is incomprehensible to mortal men. Light itself is a form that comes to comfort and caress. It is a tangible force that has life inside of it. I see fire that grows and multiplies, fire that has life of its own. It moves to and fro, giving life and resurrecting newness in all things. Fire that has power by which no thing can stand against. The fire is in the light and comes from the light, and the light has no beginning, for it always was. I find that I can only understand and comprehend this place by my spirit. My mind is too frail and weak. It is powerless and minuscule to see and understand even the smallest of images from this place. I see a presence within the light that is truly magnificent. To behold this image is to see and understand all creation, every intention, every motive, every aspect of love. To see this image burning with the greatest of all lights is to presume that one has the capacity to bear under the weight of this presence. No created thing can compare or withstand this image of the highest light that testifies to the depth of the truest love that none can fathom. It is mercy and grace alone that allows for even the dimmest of light to pass by and touch even a hair on my head. As I behold this image, one like the Son of God, who has all the love of the Father in his eyes, I am crippled with weakness and lie dead in the knowledge of my sin. My darkest hours have come together to bury me in the hopelessness of my detachment from all that is holy. And in this moment, I felt a strange sensation, as though a cool burning of thick water running over my eyes and my body. I felt the power of this love speak to me from this cool burning liquid, as though to say, I am. With these two words, I knew all that there was to know. The meaning of everything was placed into my heart, and I understood him through this cool burning liquid. I was connected with this love in a deeper level, as though my heart was not my own. His blood covered me and ran down my body and cleansed me with a cool burning. His blood was thick, and it covered me. It secured me. I felt his pleasure to serve and his joy in loving me. I wept bitterly at his feet, and I could not utter a word. I could not speak a word to this one who embodied love in its fullest magnitude, never seen before on this lowly, beggarly realm of the flesh. He already knew every word I could speak, because he was in my heart, and I became resurrected in him. Every weight, every care, every concern, every fear, every pain, every trauma, all hopelessness, all sadness, every tear, any affliction and trial, was so easily and effortlessly removed by the mere presence of his breath that came to breathe upon me and strip every unclean thing from me. I looked, and as I was dressed in a white garment of praise, my lips I could not control or influence. They simply praised him, who was like the image of the Son of God and the light of all lights. I found myself again realizing my mind was not in operation here. My spirit was in full operation, and under the influence of the Holy Spirit, the everlasting companion who went everywhere with me. Everything my body did was by the Spirit, and what I thought or felt did nothing to influence what I was doing. My friend, Holy Spirit, came into me and came out from me, for we were connected together by a bond of love that nothing could separate. From glory to glory I went, to heights I could not imagine or contain in my memory, and to depths that I cannot comprehend nor understand. All I know is I am humbled before the almighty, awesome presence of the Most High God. I shake, and my body quivers with the residue of his presence, the unmistakable and unapproachable depth of his light and his glory. And to realize that this was only a measure of who he is, that we know only in part, leaves me seeking more of him with a deeper passion.
Just let that soak into you this morning. God's doing a new thing among his people. He wants this thing to stick this time. He doesn't want you to get it and then it leave you. Father, I truly do thank you for the vision you gave your son. I thank you for the anointing that's on that vision, Lord. I thank you, Father God, that you're here in our presence. I thank you that you're doing the powerful works. Now, Father God, continue to minister to your people. Bring them to that place of security in you, Father, where the enemy can no longer trip them up and take them out. Father, I thank you for the anointing that's hovering over your people right now, that anointing to destroy every yoke. And Father, I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to read an article that I ran across the other day. It says, worship leaders must take a stand against homosexuality. The enemy is looking for a back door into the church through worship teams. All right. I'll never forget an extremely powerful and disturbing experience I had when praying in a church many years ago. Both in Colorado Springs and Detroit, I had the privilege of giving some leadership to remarkable prayer movements. Excuse me. Every Friday from 10 p.m. until midnight, we would gather hungry people from the region to pray in tongues. We'd spread out and pray boldly through the sanctuary, on the platform, in classrooms, and outside. The roar of intercession was intense. The focus each week was to bless the ministry and to partner with them in their mission. And as I read this, I remember going down to Canada, to that place there, at the airport or wherever it was. And one thing I was there for a week, and one thing they did is they had the people gathered together every day and pray through that church, like you wouldn't believe, for the power of God to fall. And, you know, everybody just gathered together, walked through there, waving their flags, and just crying out to God. And then God kept moving in those services every day. At times, we'd have over 200 people squeezing into a property designed for 30. I was always thrilled when the pastor and his core team would show up in force. I was always confused when a secretary or janitor would unlock the door for us and then disappear into another part of the property, and that bothers me too, even in this church. The night of the experience I'm about to share with you, from what I can remember, included nobody from the host church. The church he was in, nobody was there. These were all strangers. That's just like churches are, right? However, scores of fiery zealots from all over the region were praying with passion. In the midst of pacing and praying, one of the other leaders called me over. He said, "John, go walk through the baptismal." I was perplexed and asked why. He encouraged me to just do it. The baptismal was empty and positioned behind the platform. While praying in the Spirit, I walked down into the vessel designed for introducing people into a new life, altering eternity with Jesus. I gagged. I felt sick. The swirl of demons in that very spot was so overwhelming that I was shocked. Slowly walked through, praying and attempting to analyze what was happening in the invisible realm. I emerged on the other side and approached my friend. With my eyes wide open and shock on my face, I said, "What in the world was that?" And I remember he was down in the baptismal pool. He smiled, not a happy smile, but one that indicated bewilderment, and said, "I told you something was going on there." We didn't share the experience with anybody there and simply prayed and took authority. Very shortly after that night, it was discovered that the worship leader of that church had been involved in homosexual relationships. The memory of my walk through that baptismal tank caused me to grieve. The worship team has to be holy people. You just can't allow everybody to get up and lead praise and worship. You can't allow anybody and everybody to stand up and sing for the Father. They have to be cleansed, and they have to be purified, and they have to be holy. And just like the flag team, if you're not holy and pure when you're waving your flags, you know, you're waving all that junk all through the church. And just like somebody standing up here leading praise and worship, if they're in any kind of sin, they're not living the holy life, then what's in them is being projected out to you as they sing, you know, the words coming out of their mouth. And so I read that for a simple reason to tell you this. If you're going to stand up before the Lord and do anything, make sure your life is pure and holy. Amen. Just like Brett read that vision, is his life pure and holy? With his life not being pure and holy, taint that vision that God gave him. God gave him that vision for a purpose, and that was to change his life first. And then read that vision to others so that their lives can be changed too with the anointing that comes off of the words that he speaks. And this is what's going on in the body of Christ. There's not enough anointing coming forth from the words that people are speaking. And God wants us to re-examine ourselves and see if we are pure and holy and see if we are the right vessel that he can work through. Amen. That said, let's go into this teaching this morning. It's about faith. Well, anyhow, how did you like just sitting there and not standing and just soaking in the praise and worship? Did you enjoy that? Did it help you some? Little Isaiah said, "I want to sing party." And I said, "We'll sing party later. Right now, we're just going to worship the Father." But, you know, and we need to learn how to worship the Father. If you notice, the songs were all about coming back to Jesus. And you know, God just said, "I just want to draw my people back to myself." We just have to be so encompassed with the glory of God that nothing, absolutely nothing, can deter us from what God has called us forth to do. if you read that one prophetic word, somebody said that the Catherine Kuhlman anointing has been released in this dispensation, that the other generation didn't pick it up. And she said when she figured it out, it was 40 years, and I think one day. And so now this generation has picked up the Catherine Kuhlman anointing. And now I've been teaching you this, and this is what happened to Catherine Kuhlman when she would walk out of her room at the motel. People in the whoever's in the hallway fell out the spirit. Then they were saying that when she went to the airport, they had to surround her to keep her separated from the people, because the people in the airport would fall out in the spirit. And that's how she carried that glory cloud all the time. Now God's saying that this generation that we're in right now, you people, are the ones that he wants to put that glory cloud on, so that wherever you go, it will touch people's lives. And when you walk into a grocery store, maybe the cashier will fall out in the spirit. You know, this is the type of thing we're stepping into. But before we can step before God to trust you with that glory, you have to prove to him that you're intimate with him. You have to be walking holy and pure. You have to get rid of all those little vices that you have. You can't keep hanging on to those things. Are you listening? God is moving on his people right now. He's moving on us to change us, to rearrange us, to do what he needs to do in order to pull the lost and the dying to him. If you allow God to, he will show you what's going on inside of you that's hindering you from being the pure vessel that God wants to use you for. And whatever he shows you, please yield it to him and don't hold on to it, but yield it to him and allow him to cleanse you totally and completely. Because I don't know about you, but I sure don't want to miss the chance of carrying the Catherine Kuhlman anointing. Do you? There's just a handful of us here, but do you know how we could change a whole state? You know, if we carried that glory cloud everywhere we went, we could change a whole state. And we could even, you know, like, all right, just say like your teachings or whatever you put on the website, there'd be an anointing in those teachings that will reach out and grab a hold of somebody and change their lives, even as they're reading, you know, whatever it is you wrote on there. This is where the body of Christ should be, but they aren't. But this is where the body of Christ, this is where God is taking the body of Christ to. There's a whole lot of lost souls out there that really want Jesus. And unless you're walking with him, you're not going to be able to win those souls to him. All right? Let's talk about Abraham's faith this morning. How many of you said lately, "Help, Lord, I can't see where I'm going"? You know you're going somewhere, but you don't know where you're going. The faith walk is the process of traveling on an unknown and challenging road. That's why you don't know where you're going. It's an unknown and challenging road. That is why it is a walk of faith. Remember, about 4 years ago now, God told me, daughter, from this moment forth, your walk is going to be a pure faith walk, and it's going to be day by day. And it has been. See, God will tell us what's going on. Like Abraham, we must depend upon the sensing of the godly supernatural and not be motivated by what we feel or see in the natural. We are still walking in that realm. We are still motivated by what we see and what we feel, and we need to get out of that realm. We cannot allow a family member's desire to walk in sin keep you from moving forward to fulfill your divine destiny. When Lot was captured by the four kings, Abraham came to the rescue to deliver Lot's family from slavery. See, this is where you and I fail. We are supposed to be here to deliver other people from slavery. We are supposed to be walking in such a walk with God that we can set other captives free. And Genesis 14:10 says, "Now the valley of Siddim was full of asphalt pits, and the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah fled. Some fell there, and the remainder fled to the mountains. Then they took all the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah and all their provisions and went their way. They also took Lot, Abram's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom, and his goods, and departed. Then one who had escaped came and told Abram the Hebrew, for he dwelt by the terebinth trees of Mamre the Amorite, brother of Ishbel and brother of Enar, and they were allies with Abram. Now when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, see, somebody ran and told Abram, all right, he armed his 318 trained servants who were born in his own house and went in pursuit as far as Dan. He divided his forces against them by night, and he and his servants attacked them and pursued them as far as Hobah, which is north of Damascus. So he brought back all the goods, and also brought back his brother Lot and his goods, as well as the women of the people. Now see, we're not Abraham, you know, we're not living in his time, but we can free people and bring them back out of the pits of hell through prayer, through fasting, through deliverance. That's how we're supposed to deliver people, you know, set people free. If you hear that somebody is in danger, the first thing you should do is go to prayer. Seek God's face. What's going on here? How do you want me to pray? What can I do to help this person get out of their dilemma that they're in? And you should be a person that people know that you pray and know that you hear God's voice and know that when they come to you that you will pray and that God will help them in some way through you, because they're not old enough in the Lord to understand how to fight. But every one of us in here, we're old enough in the Lord that we know how to fight, right? And we know how to set the captives free. And so we need to pray for these people until they are old enough in the Lord to pray for themselves and set themselves free. We say, well, why don't they get their act together? Well, they don't know how to get their act together. But you're supposed to know how to help them get their act together. Times of warfare. It is very important to understand that this is one reason why Abraham had to cross over. God's called us to cross over a couple years ago. Did we cross over? So you have to get out, you have to cross over sometime in your life. In other words, you have to get out of your sin nature and you have to cross over into a sinless life. You have to cross over into the holiness of God if you're ever going to help somebody else out of their pit. Our part in keeping covenant with God is to continue to cross over into every new place that the Lord instructs us to go. This is how we move forward from glory to glory. We will never stop crossing over. God's word said, I want to take you from glory to glory to glory. Isn't that what it says? So we will never stop crossing over. It is a progression of breakthroughs as we embrace one level of revelation and move to the next revelation. Don't ever become stagnant. Don't ever be content where you're at, because there's always more that God wants to show you. He will take you to one level, then he'll keep you there until you understand everything he's doing with you in that level. And then whenever you're well-versed in that, then he'll move you to a different level. So he might have you to a level where you're really happy. You really like everything that's going on, but don't stop there, because you have to keep growing so you can help others. This is a forerunner church, therefore we're forerunners. We should be going higher than other people so that we can bring other people as high as we are. You understand this? Don't be content. Please, don't none of you stop where you're at. Don't stop where you're at. Every day ask God to take you higher, no matter what you have to go into, because sometimes you go higher, then you go higher into the devil's camp too. I should say deeper into the devil's camp. Because then you have to go into the devil's camp to destroy that camp so that you can bring others through without them being attacked. All right? Some Bible scholars say that when Abraham went to war against the four kings, he battled for his natural seed as well as his future spiritual seed, which is us. This is what we have to do. We're battling for future seed. A mantle of warfare for the church. It is time for us to join together and encourage each other in the Lord. By closing ranks, we will become an army fitly joined together, fully equipped and ready for battle. Let's look at the four kings that Father Abraham went to war. Larry turned on Joe Osteen this morning. I thought everybody should listen to Joe Osteen before they come here this morning, because he gave a really good encouraging word. Amen. And he encouraged, and it's all biblically based. And that's his job as a pastor. He's there to encourage constantly. Our job is to learn how to battle so we can fight for other people and bring them up out of the pit and bring out of despair and bring them into the light of God. All right? A mantle of, where am I at here, Nancy? All right, number one, the king of Elam. His name implies a binding up. The devil desires to keep us bound to our past. All you guys are still bound to your past. Please listen to this. If not careful, we will focus on our past failure and limit God. Those things are familiar that we are familiar with. Don't focus on your past. Get out of that rut and be brought and allow God to bring you to the forefront where he wants you to be. In other words, we will not step out into the unknown and cross over into our future. We must develop eyes to see and ears to hear what the Spirit of God is saying to us. I can always tell if you're growing by what you say, because if you keep talking about where you used to be or keep talking about what people used to do to you, then you have not grown. You're still living in your past and you have not crossed over into your future, the deep future that God has for you. You know, guys, you have to understand too that everything you go through, bad, good, or indifferent, is to make you stronger in the Lord and to cause you to be a strong tower that God can use to send others into. And then you have all this information of where you were and what God did to bring you out. And then you can help others tell them, you know, I was there one time too, and look what God has done to me. So don't curse the bad places that you're in. Thank God that he knew that you were strong enough to endure those hard places so you could bring others out of their pit too. I've learned in the last year that we need to quit moaning, groaning, and complaining about the bad times we have to go through and just thank God for the bad times, because those bad times are making us stronger in the Lord and making us a strong tower that's going to be needed right now in this dispensation of time, because there's a lost and dying world out there and they need us. All right, number two, the king of Tittle. His name implies fear, terrible, to make afraid, and to shrink back and crawl away. These are the kings that Abraham had to fight, all right? The purpose of this spirit is clear. The devil will lie to us and cause us to fear our future. Rather than realize that this is our time of victory and favor, we could be seduced to believe the very opposite. And what's going on right now could make you believe the very opposite. I said, the devil will lie to us and cause us to fear our future. Rather than realize that this is our time of victory and favor, we could be seduced to believe the very opposite. Be on guard. Press forward into your new place. What you're going through right now, you might think God's never going to take me to where he said he's going to take me, and that's a lie. If he's promised you something, he's going to take you there. So the enemy has come, and he's trying to make you believe that God is not in control. Don't believe that lie. God is in control, and he takes you through your process one step at a time. He just doesn't yank you from spot to spot. He walks you through it one step at a time. Why? Because you have to grow in certain areas, and if he just whisked you through that thing, you would never grow. And he lets you there and walks you through it one step at a time so you can grow and mature in the things of God. The king of Sinar, his name means sayer of darkness. Our enemy will speak lies and attempt to keep us in darkness. There will never be hope or peace in his words. During seasons when vision is blocked and we can't see in the natural, focus on the supernatural. God's words are superior. When you can't see what's going on, you don't understand what's going on in the natural, just keep your focus on the kingdom of God. And remember the words that he spoke over you, and then walk in those words. God himself is superior to the enemy in every way. See, we don't understand that either. We don't understand that God is superior to the enemy that's trying to take you out. Don't allow the enemy to continue to lie to you concerning your future. Cross over into your promises. God has been saying that this is a year. This is Jubilee, right? This is the true Jubilee year. And every promise he's given you over the years is going to come to pass this year. I don't care what the enemy's telling you. I don't care what your eyes see. You have to keep your focus on the promise of God that He is bringing every promise to pass this year. This year. Not next year. Not 10 years from now, but this year. All right, number four is the king of Eleazar. His name means lion-like. The devil's strategy is to raise his head as a roaring lion and cause us to fear. He attempts to kill, steal, and destroy. But don't listen to the false roar of the lion. We have to listen to the roar of the Lion of Judah. Amen. Remember, the lion from the tribe of Judah is on your side, and he will direct you as you cross over into your destined place. Don't go back, shrink back, or crawl back. Please keep walking forward, no matter what's going on in your life. Keep walking forward, because you really are walking in. I'm hearing God say you're leaving the enemy's camp, and you're walking forward into total and complete victory in His camp. And in that camp, you will conquer all the works of darkness that are round about you. So keep walking forward, please. What's happening is that the enemy has come in like a flood, and he has tried to encompass us around about, and he's brought all of his darkness with him, and he's trying to make us believe that there is no light. But there is light. We are the light. And he has no power. And I'm just telling you what I'm hearing God say. He has no power and no authority over any of his children as of right now. His darkness is finished in you. You are the only one that can cause his darkness to keep working. And you do that by keep believing the lies that he's telling you. No, I'm not going to listen to you no more. No, that's not true. If he's trying to make you believe that you'll never quit an addiction, let's say that. You know you will, or he wouldn't be coming telling you you won't. Amen. So that's the lie he's telling you. And if you fall into that lie, you'll believe that lie. Whatever it is he's telling you, you know just the opposite is going to happen. And if we can get that in our spirit, he's done. And he's know he's done. But you have to get that in your spirit first. That what he's telling you, this the opposite is going to happen. Or what he's showing you. Sometimes he doesn't have to speak. He can just make you look at a situation, and what you see isn't very good, and he can make you believe that something bad's happening, but it isn't. All right? Going through times of transition and adjusting our pace is his race. In his race always tempts a person to go back. Read that again. Going through times of transition and adjusting our pace in his race always attempts a person to go back. A quitter will always go back. Somebody that's very weak will always go back. Because it's a battle. We always have a battle before us. And we have to fight with Christ, knowing that He is with us at all times, and that we have already won the war. All right, I said you would quit, but don't. You might go back. But I said don't. Jeremiah 12:5 says, if you have run with a footman, and they have wearied you, then how can you contend with horses? And if in the land of peace in which you trusted they were wearied you, then how will you do in the flood plain of the Jordan? Years ago, God gave me this scripture, and a lot of pastors in this area were coming against me, and you know, and I was upset about it. And so God gave me this scripture of what he was saying. If these little people here are going to cause you to fall and weep and carry on like a fool, you're not going to be able to move forward. You're always going to stay right where you're at. And he didn't want me to stay a footman. All right? Has God spoken to you concerning your breakthroughs and told you to run with the horses? I see, that's what he told me. I had to start running with the horses. Then know that if he is speaking this to you, the devil wants you to remain a footman. Footmen cannot see beyond what is directly in front of them. Their vision is blocked by obstacles, problems, negativity, and challenges that stand in their path. Therefore, they move slowly on foot. So, a footman, their vision is blocked by obstacles, problems, negativity, and challenges that stand in their path. Therefore, they move slowly on foot. However, when you're on a horse, not only do you move faster, but the view is always broader and not so restricted. Jeremiah had survived at a footman's level for a very long season and was remaining there. See, and some of you are at the footman's level, and he's telling you, get up on the horse. What's that song, Will You Ride? Say, Jeremiah had survived, I'm sorry. God was prophesying to Jeremiah and speaking to his potential as he told him to rise up and run with the horses. If we continue to remain on a footman's level, we will see things only through a footman's view. When God begins to renew our minds, he removes old paradigms because they limit our thinking. Paradigms box us into old patterns and mindsets that prohibit change. When the Lord says it is time for us to run with the horses, he is saying that it is time for promotion. Hallelujah. Come on. He's telling us this morning we're no longer footmen. He wants us to run with the horses. He wants to promote us into a higher level of his glory. Get ready to change. He's already changed me in the last couple of days, so I'm telling you, it happened to me, now it's going to happen to you. Get ready to change, to rise up and embrace a new level of maturity, to conquer whatever stands in your way. Are you listening? A new level of maturity. If God is speaking a horseman's challenge to you, he is requiring more maturity. You see, when I was moaning, groaning, and crying to him about them people coming against me, he was saying, grow up. Amen. See, I think the body of Christ in here needs, I'm not preaching out there, you need to grow up and quit whining and moaning and groaning and don't stay a footman, but become a run with the horses. All right? I'm hearing God saying that this is going to be a sudden movement on your lives. And you're going to find yourself in a very drastic change. And this is being geared at you, Barbara. In a very drastic change. And you're going to change suddenly in a wink of his eye. And so get ready for the change that's coming your way. Okay, if God is speaking a horseman's challenge to you, he is requiring more maturity. No longer will ground level concerns be allowed. No longer will ground level concerns be allowed because footmen murmur and complain. You hear that? Come on. How many of you ride horses or have ridden a horse? They can be contrary, can't they? And when you're up in their back, if you don't let them know you're in control, they'll take control, right? I'll never forget when I lived in a farm years ago. He was in the service, but we was living on this farm, and the guy that owned the place, he had horses there, and people would come every weekend to ride. So it was my job to make sure they were bridled up, you know, and ready for them to ride. Well, this one horse decided he was going to act up, and he threw somebody off, and I had to go down the path and go get the horse. Well, the horse decided he was going to run. He was going to tell me what he was going to do, and I said, oh, no, you're going to do what I want you to do, and I took control of that horse. And, you know, he always ran off from everybody, and I made him walk real slow. I walked real slow, and I said, you'll walk right behind me, and you'll walk real slow. And so he walked right behind me and walked real slow. I got him back to the barn. He was glad to get out of my presence. I had to show that horse that I was in control. You're going to have to show the devil you're in control, is what I'm saying here, because the devil was in that horse that day. All right? We just don't understand that the enemy is constantly trying to, like that horse, throw you off the horse, you know. He still wants you to remain that footman. And so you have to show the enemy, no, you're not in control of nothing in my life. God is in control at all times. And if God is in control, then you are in total victory, aren't you? Well, then why do we walk around like we're defeated all the time? You're in total victory. Then why are you walking around like you're defeated all the time? Okay, where am I? I lost my place here. All right. Footmen focus on, number one, the air conditioning in the church, whether it's too hot or too cold, how the pastor's dressed, if they received enough recognition, or how well the church is landscaped. On the other hand, those running with the horses do not have the time to be overly concerned about such trivial matters. Running with horses requires a fast pace, a higher level, and a higher highway. Running with the horses requires maturity. Running with horses requires the eye of the Spirit. You have to be able to see into the spirit realm. You have to be able to hear the voice of God at all times, 24/7, instant in season and out of season. This is what it is when you're running with the horses. You are mature. You are in control because of Christ who lives in you. And the enemy is out of focus. You no longer see him. All you see is the light of God in your life. All right? Running with the horses requires that one see beyond obstacles blocking the paths to victory and more. More importantly, see through the obstacles to the other side. Let's read that again. Running with the horses requires that one see beyond the obstacles blocking the paths to victory. In other words, the things that you're looking at are not real in the spirit realm. They are in the natural, but not in the spirit realm. So you have to look past those things. And more importantly, see through the obstacles to the other side. You have to see what's happening on the other side of what's going on in front of your eyes. All right? All right, I'll just give an example. Like, my granddaughter is really deteriorating very quickly. And somebody told me yesterday that the stage that she's in now, the friend of theirs, well, relative of theirs was in, and they died. And I said, how long was it before they died? And they said, about 2 months, and then they were gone. Well, I went, you know, I was working in the house, so all day long I prayed and I prayed and I prayed and I prayed, and God didn't answer me. And I said, God, I need to know, is she going to live or is she going to die? And I was saying, I don't want her to die, I want her to live. And finally, last night at 12 o'clock, he said, she shall live and not die. So it doesn't matter what I see with my eyes, and what I see is death. I mean, total death. I'm standing on what God has spoken to me, and I'm speaking it into existence constantly. See, I'm running with the horses, and I'm not content with what I see anymore in the natural. I want to see what God sees. I want to know what God has to say about something. All right? Horsemen realize that on the other side of the mountain lies victory. On the other side of the river is the possession of the promise. And we need a divine ability to see by his spirit. So horsemen realize that on the other side of the mountain lies victory. On the other side of the river is the possession of the promise. We need a divine ability to see by this his spirit. And see, this is another problem of the body of Christ. We don't walk there. We don't see by his spirit. We always are walking by our, you know, the body of Christ as a whole. It walks by their flesh and not by the spirit. So the enemy can always trip them up. It seems like the enemy is always in control. And that is not true. He is not in control. He's only in control if you give him control. Always remember that. All right, here's a story. This prophet was supposed to speak at a conference and the night before she spoke, she had a dream. In the dream, the Lord spoke to her and said that she had something wrong with her eyes. He said that she could not see properly and that she was going blind. She was shocked because she thought she was seeing clearly. Then he said that he would have to take pieces of her ear and graft them into her eyes so that her hearing and seeing were connected properly. She thought, how strange. Then she heard the words, "Take heed how you hear." And Luke 8:18 says, therefore, take heed how you hear, for whoever has, to him more will be given. See that? Whoever has, more will be given. And whoever does not have, even what he seems to have, will be taken from him. So whatever you have in the spirit realm, God will give you more. And if you aren't in the spirit realm, if you're not walking in the spirit realm, you don't have anything, then whatever you have, it's going to be taken away from you, the little tiny bit that you might have. You have to walk in the spirit in order for God to elevate you higher than you are right now. Because what did God tell us? Religion was gone. It was now spirit calls unto spirit. And so therefore we have to be spirit beings, listen to the spirit of God, the voice of God, and do what the spirit is telling us to do. Not what we want to do, not what man wants us to do, but what God wants us to do. I had somebody say to me last night, well, I think I hear the voice of God because sometimes I think my thoughts are really God speaking to me. And God said, tell him, yes, he's right. That sometimes it's not his thoughts, it's really me instructing him. And so, see, he has never been taught how to hear the voice of God. And so, therefore, he didn't know if it was his thoughts or God speaking to him. Now, you have to be mature. When somebody comes to you like that, you have to be mature enough in the Lord, and you have to be walking in the Spirit so you can hear what God has to say so you can instruct them properly. All right? Where am I at, Nancy? The Lord instructed. The Lord instructed his audience to not simply hear the word, but also to be alert to how they heard the word. You have to be alert to how you hear the word. You know, I can say something and Nancy could hear it one way and Larry could hear it another way. You have to be alert to how you hear the word. We need to realize that many times we hear based on our past. Many times we hear based on our past. If we have fears of authority, we will not hear instructions properly from authority figures. If we have fears of authority, we will not hear instructions properly from authority figures. We filter everything we hear through our past pain, failures, or even victories. You might say something to somebody and they twist that thing all around and carry on like a fool. You think, why did they do all that? It's because they didn't hear the way you spoke it. They filtered it through their past pain, failures, or even victories. This is our season to see our future properly and not allow our past to dictate the steps we take. It is your crossing over time. God wants to exalt this church. He wants to bring everybody in this church higher than you were before you even walked through the doors this morning. I believe with all my heart that's why he had me do praise and worship the way he did, because he wanted us to sit in his presence and become intimate with him. And like I said, the songs were geared to getting recommitting yourself back to God. And he's wanting us to become very intimate with him and to go from glory to glory to glory. He cannot drop his glory into you if you're still walking with one foot in the world. You can't do that. You have to be totally committed, totally and completely committed to him. When Israel crossed over the Jordan, the river was raging, from what we read in the word. The waters were dangerous and swift. In the natural, those waters appeared too dangerous for the people to cross. Fear always attempts to gain a foothold at a crossover point. So right now, God might be trying to get you to cross over, but whenever you think of the vastness of what he was asking you to do, it just overwhelms you, and then you will start walking in fear. And you can't cross over. You can't go into that place God would have you go into. You have to do like I do, guys. I'll give you my example. When God tells you to do something that seems so absurd, I just say, okay, God, you said it. I'm just going to do it, and you're going to have to walk me through it because I don't know where you're taking me to. And then I just let him have control. I don't try to control anything. I just let God lead, God, and direct me. All right? All right, you know, I'm just going to use this example. You know, with all the drugs around my house and everything, certain people come there, and God say, make them get off the property. So I would say, you get off my property now. And with this one young man, you know, he came and I never told him to get off the property. In fact, he would come in and sit in Jimmy's bedroom and everything and talk with him. And so last night, we were working in the house, and the Spirit of God moved upon him. And I know Tristan talked about this in Sunday school, but and then he came to me and asked me how long I was preaching. And I told him, and he says, I'm in a dark hole, and I need you to pray for me. I need help. See, I didn't talk to him about God. Not at all. But because he'd been coming in and out of the house, And he's heard me yell and carry on with Isaiah, you know. He's seen me get really radical with the people and tell them, get off my property, don't ever come back. He's seen me be me. But yet last night, he came to me and stood in front of me and said, I really need your prayers. I'm in a deep, dark hole and I don't know how to get out. See, the anointing of God was constantly there. And then as we talked and everything, he said to me, he said, you know, I'd watch you chase other people out and let them come in the house and everything, but you never came to me. And I was thinking, please don't let her come to me, Lord, because his parents are Christian, because he didn't want me to kick him off the property. He said, why did you let me stay? I said, because God told me to let you stay. God told me not to kick you out, to let you stay. And he said, he was crying, and he said, I thank God that he told you to let me stay. See, I was hearing God's voice. And then God spoke to the young man, gave him a prophetic word, and told him, I'm going to use you for my kingdom. You've been marked for my kingdom from birth. And he got so excited, he was just weeping uncontrollably. But see, because the anointing was there, and he saw me being natural, he trusted me. And he knew that God, and you see, I'm always saying, you know, in the house, well, God just spoke to me. This is what God said. And you know, and he said, every time you say that, Jimmy tried to change the subject because he didn't want me to hear you say, God said. He said, but that always, you know, he said, it always got my attention because you wasn't afraid to say God said or God told me. And I said, I'm not afraid to say that because I know I hear God's voice and God does tell me what's going on. Then I explained to him about Jimmy's court, and he couldn't believe that because he didn't know the story. And it really encouraged him. So see, guys, even though I had to go through all that stuff and keep praying and loving and forgiving, going on, and it won a soul to Christ. You see this? In fact, it's won two souls to Christ. So whatever you go through, it's not for you. It's for somebody else. Somewhere along the line, God's going to send a lost soul to you. And what you went through is just for that one person. Are you understanding this? Everywhere you go, you should be a witness. Everywhere you go, you should be a witness of Jesus Christ. Be yourself. Be natural. I shouldn't be one way in church, another way outside. We should be us. And we are children of God. And we have God inside of us. And we're not superior to anybody else. You listen to this. Just because you serve God, you're not superior to anybody else. You just ought to thank God that His grace caught you when it did. And you ought to thank God that His grace has brought you through. And He brought you through by His grace. So then you in turn can bring somebody else through by the grace of God. All right, where are we at? But Jeremiah 47:2 says that when Israel defeated the Philistines, there was a sound of the strong horses stamping hooves. The Philistines are symbolic of the old thing. Their name even means to wallow in the mud, pointing to defilement and stagnation. If we are unwilling to cross into our new place, we risk wallowing in the muddy places, which is defilement from unclean spirits. See this? We must rise up and put those seducing spirits under our feet so that we can move forward. Do you really want to move forward? Then you're going to have to put them stupid things under your feet and stomp them to death. And just tell the devil where he can go, out of your life, out into the pit, because you're not going to entertain him any longer, period. And then walk it out, just walk it out. This morning, God is telling us, come on and cross over. I mean, are you really ready to cross? Are you really ready to go into the deep things that God has for you? I'm going to tell you what God spoke to me He's going to do with me. It's blown my mind. But God is God, and He knows exactly what He always wanted me to do. Every one of you in here, before you was ever born, God, there was a plan and a purpose for your life. And I'm hearing God say, any defilement that came your way was to grow you up in Him. It was not to destroy you. It was to grow you up in Him. And He's going to use that defilement that was in your life so you can bring others to Christ. So don't keep saying, well, I've been so bad. I've been so dirty. Just quit that stuff. That's an excuse not to go further with Christ. God has spoken to us enough times to let us know that that your sins have been thrown into the sea of forgetfulness and He's forgiven you. Now just move forward and do the things that God's calling you forth to do. I'm going to tell you, you guys just don't understand this big thrust of lost souls when they come in. They're going to be a mess all at one time, not one at a time, but hundreds at a time. And you're going to have to be strong in the Lord. And you're going to have to know your authority in Christ. And every one of you sitting here, you've been with Christ long enough to know what authority you have. And He doesn't give you authority to sin. He gives you authority to be a child of God. He gives you authority to go forth and break the enemy's back, to tear his camp apart. And this is what we're supposed to do. See, just like me, I never said a word to this young man. I was just me. I'm not ashamed of God. And I know God asked me to do things that makes my family get upset with me. But like I told him, he said, well, how do you deal with this? I said, I have to do what God tells me to do, no matter who gets upset with me. And I'm just trusting that God will straighten things out. And He always does. And I said, you just have to go ahead and walk with God and do what God's calling you to do. A sinner's not going to understand your walk with God. Do you understand that? They're just not. Because, see, they're not as pure as you are. They're not as undefiled as you are, and they don't understand purity. And so you have to keep your head held high. You have to keep a standard in your life, and you just have to move forward. Come on. Are you ready to do that this morning? Are you really ready to let your past behind you? And are you ready to cross over into that promised land that God has called you to cross over into? All right, in this season, expect a shift in your pace. Time will go faster. You don't want to hear that, right? You don't have enough time as it is. And challenges will be more difficult. God will pour out more grace, more anointing, and more strategy in this next season than ever before. These are all things that God has been telling us all along. Once we have shifted into that place of promised victory, there is no room for backing up. So if you're saying to God, I'm going to cross over today, you're saying, I'm shifting over into that place of promised victory, where you know that the devil is never going to be able to defeat you ever again, then you can't back up. You can't go backwards. There's only one place to go, and that's forwards. There's no side roads on this road. It's either back or forward. And once you say, God, I'm crossing over, then there's no back road either. It's just all walking straight ahead. This morning, God is asking you to have the faith of Abraham and cross over. So do you have that faith? Can you cross over? Can you really cross over without a double mind, is what I'm hearing God say. You're single-minded in this thing. And you're going to cross over so that you can be a vessel of honor that God can work through. You're not going to think about your past no more. Past is dead, it's gone, it's buried. Throw it into the sea of forgetfulness. The altar is open if you want to tell God, I want to cross over. Now remember, you can't go backwards. You can't say, well, I didn't mean what I said. No, you have to. If you're saying I'm going to cross over, then you mean it with all of your heart. And God said, this is not a difficult thing. Once you've made up your mind to do this thing, you're going to see how easy it is. It's going to become. Come on, just give in. Give in to the moving of the Spirit. Don't fight it. Should be an instant thing. If you really mean what you're saying, it should be an instant thing. God said, you're walking, as you stand here, you're walking into the suddenly. Suddenly, a whole lot of things are going to start happening in your life. So get ready for the suddenlies to start pouring out upon your life.